Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. In the city of our God, his holy mountain, beautiful in its loftiness, the joy of the whole earth, like the heights of Zaphon, is Mount Zion, the city of the great king. God is in our citadels. He has shown himself to be her fortress. When the kings joined forces, when they advanced together, they saw her and were astounded. They fled in terror. Trembling seized them there, pain like that of a woman in labor. You destroyed them like ships of tarnish, shattered by an east wind. As we have heard, so we have seen, in the city of the Lord Almighty, in the city of our God, God makes her secure forever. Within your temple, O God, we meditate in your unfailing love, like your name, O God. Your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Mount Zion rejoices. The villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments. Walk about Zion, go round her camp with her towers. Consider well her ramparts. View her citadels, that you may tell of them to the next generation. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end.
Great, thank you, Hannah. We've got a second reading this morning, which is from Hebrews 12. So if you could just turn that up, Hebrews 12, which is on page 1211. Now, the writer of the Hebrews, as we're going to hear in a minute, describes two mountains. The first is Mount Sinai, the scary, frightening mountain from which God thundered and gave the law on tablets of stone to Moses. And the second one is the mountain that we've just heard described in Psalm 48, Zion, the city of the living God. So that's page 1211, Hebrews 12, starting at verse 18. And Murray's going to come up and read that for us.
I hope you can understand me. Hebrews 12, 18. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, "I am trembling with fear." But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Amen and amen.
Thank you, Hannah. Thank you, Murray. Let me pray. Please turn to Psalm 48. Have that open in front of you and keep a finger in Hebrews 12, because I'll come back to that in a moment. Let me pray. We praise you, Lord God, for Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the better word that he speaks than the blood of Abel, than the law. We praise you that Jesus is with us. And we pray for a great grasp of what it means to be the local church, the church of God. Please help us celebrate and rejoice in what we see revealed in the psalm and also in Hebrews 12. Amen. So, Psalm 48 is where we are. Please have that open. Do you see the church the way God sees the church? Or to put it more precisely, do you see Christ Church South Cairns the way God sees us? This group of 100 or so people, half of us under 18, from about 25 different families at the moment, a bare 13 years old as a church, a group of people quite varied in nationalities and backgrounds, united by faith in Christ. Do you see this church the way God sees it? We are beautiful to God, declaring a message to be heard by the world around us, where there is utter safety and security in the face of all the world's opposing forces. Do you see Christ Church South Cairns as a place of utter beauty and perfect safety? We should do, because the Church of God is beautiful and secure and to be treasured. So see her, Christ Church South Cairns, I'm calling her a her. See her the way God sees her, and then treasure her and recognize that there is no greater joy in life than to give your heart, your soul, your all to the health and life and growth of this church. Well, that's the treatise. That's what I think Psalm 48 points us to. Let me show you why. Psalm 48 is a song about the Lord and his city. Did you see that? The city of our God, his holy mountain, verse 1. Now, the psalmist was writing about the physical place, also called Zion, also called Jerusalem. But this side of Christ, it is the local church that is God's city, his holy place. So everything that we can see about God's holy city in Psalm 48, we can read and understand as Christ Church South Cairns. I want you to take, therefore, two passes over this psalm. The first, that we might see what the psalmist saw in Jerusalem, and the second, that we might see what God wants us to see in Christchurch. Let me show you how the psalmist describes Jerusalem. Firstly, see God's city. It is beautiful. Beautiful in its loftiness. The joy of the whole earth, like the heights of Mount Zaphon, which is a great name, I've never heard of this mountain, but it is, I gather, a snow-capped, very tall mountain in Syria, thought to be the home of the Canaanite gods. Like Mount Zion, like Mount Zaphon, is Mount Zion, the city of the great king. Now, if you've been driving through France and you've seen a city on a hill, it's very picturesque. If you've seen a great city on a very tall mountain, it would be stunning, visible from perhaps miles, hundreds of miles away, in all directions as you approach it. The psalmist calls God's city his holy mountain, Mount Zion, beautiful in its height, in its loftiness, bringing joy to the whole earth. But Jerusalem wasn't, and still isn't, that high. It was and is on a bit of a hill, and you need about 20 minutes to walk from the Kidron Valley up to the top of the hill where the Temple Mount is. You can do that today. But it doesn't physically stand out. There are higher hills all round it. Now, a trip to Jerusalem is something I've managed a couple of times in my life, and it is fascinating given its history. Some of you may have been. Excavations have revealed fascinating things, often 50 feet down through the rubble of hundreds of years of rebuilding, dating back to the time of King David, 1,000 years before Christ, and much later to the Roman occupation during the time of Jesus. You can walk through Hezekiah's water tunnel, and you can go to the Pool of Siloam. You can see them, but it's not very big and is not very tall. You can walk from the Mount of Olives down into the Kidron Valley, a few hundred yards, and then up again towards the Temple Mount, where the foundation stones for Solomon's temple are still there, and you'll have barely covered 1 kilometer. Nelson's Column in Trafalgar Square to Piccadilly is further than that. So what is the psalmist so thrilled about that he can say, Zion is the joy of the whole earth? And verse 4, when the kings of the earth joined forces and advanced together, they saw her, that is the city of God, and were astounded, fleeing in terror. The answer is back at the end of verse 2. Can you see what struck them when they saw this city? God is there. This is the city of the great king. God is in her citadels. He has shown himself to be her fortress. This is the seat of all power. It is beautiful and fearsome because God is there. So the city of God isn't beautiful because of its architecture or its height. It's not its parks and rivers that make it stunning. It is that God is in the midst of it. And he was. When Solomon built the temple, his father David gathered all the materials for. And when the people consecrated the building with the most holy place at the center of it, it truly was the place that God had established and could be said to be his dwelling place on earth. God being there is what made the city beautiful. And in verse 3, we get its other characteristic, not just beauty, but safety. God is in her citadels. He has shown himself to be her fortress. And the description then in verses 4 to 6, the kings joining forces to attack Jerusalem, but being astounded by her and being driven back to where they came from in terror, is perhaps a shorthand description of the great event in Jerusalem's history when the Assyrian king, Sennacherib, swept down from the north, conquering town after town, wiping them out until he came right up to the walls of Jerusalem. A massed army was outside, thousands and thousands of soldiers. No city had withstood his power up till that time. Hezekiah was king, and he did the right thing in the face of overwhelming odds. He gathered all his nobles together and he prayed to God. So Sennacherib is outside the walls of the city, imagining he will do the same here as he's done before. It's not a big city, nothing stopped him before, but the one thing he hadn't banked on was being up against God. In one night, he's stopped in his tracks. In verse 37 of in Isaiah 37, verse 33, the prophet speaks God's words. He will not enter this city or shoot an arrow here. He will not come before it with shield or build a siege ramp against it. By the way that he came, he will return. He will not enter this city, declares the Lord. I will defend this city and save it for my sake and for the sake of David, my servant. And overnight, Sennacherib was stopped in his tracks. The next morning, 185,000 of his soldiers lay dead where they lay. They died in their sleep. He found he had no army to take on Zion, so he turned and fled back to Syria, utterly defeated. And it's a vivid naval picture, curiously, used in verse 7. You destroyed them like the ships of Tarshish, shattered by an east wind. But it does portray the kind of matchsticks that God made of the massive oaks of the Assyrian armies who thought they could take on the city of God. Imagine the celebration as the news of that victory spread throughout Israel. God has won. He has defended his holy city. Jerusalem has stood firm. The enemy has been turned back. God has done it. And so the psalmist can say, verse 8, as we have heard, so we have seen. In the city of the Lord Almighty, in the city of our God, God makes her secure forever. True beauty and real safety. Only God can provide those things. God's city is truly beautiful and eternally safe because God is there. So what? Well, look at verses 9 to 11. So live to praise him. The psalmist describes the response of the people in the face of the beauty and security of God's city. They are to think about what they've got. Verse 9, within your temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love. They're to see the impact of the city reaching far and wide. Verse 10, like your name, O God, your praise reaches the ends of the earth. It's the character and judgments of God that are so stunning. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. The city itself and wherever the news reaches, rejoice. Mount Zion rejoices. The villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments. So take stock, stand back, and have a good look at the city of God. Do a tour. Walk round your city. Know it well. Know the contours so well that you can pass on what you know to your children. Look at verse 12. Walk about Zion. Go round her. Count her towers. Consider well her ramparts. View her citadels, that you may tell of them to the next generation. So Psalm 48 is about the city of God. It's a psalm of wonder and praise, pointing to the beauty and safety of the city. But it's only beautiful and safe because of who is in it. God dwells within it. For this is our God forever and ever, verse 14. He will be our guide even to the end. So hold that thought with the city, physical city of Jerusalem in your mind. And now let me take you to Hebrews chapter 12. Talking to the people of God, united to one another by faith in Christ, the writer is telling them what it means to be in Christ, to be a Christian, to have faith in Jesus. He says to them, verse 22, you've come to Mount Zion, that should ring a bell, to the city of the living God, Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, oh, not the earthly one. You come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You've come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. So we, living this side of Jesus having come, having lived a full and perfect life to the praise of his Father in heaven, having died, been buried, risen, and then ascended to heaven, that all those who believe in him might together enter the city of God with him. Christians the world over might see what they are part of. And in local churches everywhere, we can look at the gathering of ordinary-looking people around us, sat on plastic chairs or in oak pews, bathed in multicolored light from stained glass windows, or somewhat blinded by sunlight streaming in from slit windows above us. And we are to know that we are the beautiful, safe city of our God. Places of beauty, local churches, Christchurch South Cams, made not that beautiful by the architecture or the location, but by God being in the midst of us. So we should marvel at the joyful assembly of people from many nations, of different ages and professions, each one a miracle of God's grace and kindness, unique in their accounts of the ways in which God has revealed himself to us in Christ, but all of us sharing in the wonder of Christ in us, the hope of glory. So all of us at Christchurch South Cams who've been brought to repentance and faith can echo the words of the gospel and what the writers of the New Testament letters say. 1 Peter 3:18, Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. Romans 5 verse 8, God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Mark 10, verse 45. We know that the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for us. And we've been included in that number. We know what love is, 1 John 4:10. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So can you close your eyes briefly and just realize that the beauty of Christchurch South Cams is that this is a living, breathing gathering of people who are a demonstration of the contours of the beautiful love of God towards a people who've done nothing to deserve it. So take a moment before the service is over to look around you and be reminded of the way different people have been brought to saving faith in Christ. Each and every one is a story of God's beautiful love. You can open your eyes. Give thanks for God's kindness to us. Know that the stories of God's grace that each life tells you are the joy of the whole earth. That is, they make up the enormous tapestry of grace that covers the earth with saved souls like yours. We were in France a couple of weeks ago, about 50 miles away, and from one ridge it was possible to look over and see snow on Mont Blanc. Mont Blanc is slightly closer than Mount Zaphon. Maybe a few more of you might have seen it. But it is visible from miles and miles away. The local churches are the people of are the city of the great king. Be they gatherings of thousands or smaller gatherings of hundreds, they are like cities on a hill. They are beautiful because God is in them. He is amongst us. And they are places of safety because God has shown himself to be our fortress. When the Roman emperors pitted their wits against the Christians, it only served to scatter the messengers that new churches might grow up in new places with the message of the gospel flourishing in them. When the kings joined forces and they advanced together with the Enlightenment or with postmodernism or with secularism or with intolerant relativism, and they now see believers in local churches still gathered and still worshipping God, they are deeply frustrated and they will flee, if not now, on the last day when Christ returns. God looks down from heaven and laughs at the puny kings who plot in vain against his authority and rule. Psalm 2. He has installed his king in Zion. That is, in us. Jesus reigns in our hearts and nothing can prevail against him. And we've heard, and every testimony of faithful believers throughout history gives cause to remember, so we have seen in the city of the Lord Almighty, in the city of our God, verse 8, God makes her secure forever. Now, assaults will come. Fearsome assaults of mighty armies of impossible odds may come our way. As individuals, huge heartache will be ours when loved ones suffer, when illness takes hold, when relationships turn sour. But the armies of Satan, be they the accusations in our minds or anxieties that we feel, will not scale the walls of God's city because he is there. We will pray for deliverance. The siege may last a long time, but those whom God has won, he will never let go. He will never leave nor forsake. Being in Christ is to be safe from eternal harm and secure in his everlasting arms. And the bastion of individual safety, being safe in Christ personally, will always be expressed by being safe in a local church. Together we stand with Christ in our midst. We may with Paul be hard-pressed on every side, shipwrecked, beaten, laid low, but not defeated, not destroyed, not finished off. God makes us secure forever. Well, so what? So meditate on God's unfailing love. Think about it. Give yourself time in the day. If that's first thing in the morning for you, make it happen. Consider what you've been saved from and what you've been saved for. Write down what you know God wants you to do today. Perhaps that would be a practice for some of us. God's praise is to reach the ends of the earth, verse 10, and it'll do so through his people, through those dwelling in his city. Verse 11, Mount Zion rejoices. The villagers are glad because of your judgments. God has made it known what is good for us. So we are to relish his law and his judgments. The more the world rails against God's standards for life, the more surprising and distinctive will be Christians when they stand up for what God has said. For the gospel that life is to be had through faith in Christ, and that God's way when it comes to marriage and sexuality and gender is the best way, will rejoice in God's judgments. Verse 12, walk about Zion, go round her, consider well her ramparts and citadels. Well, I can imagine, in fact I did, I walked round what you can of the leftover ramparts around Jerusalem. It's about a 2-hour walk. Can we do something similar for ourselves as Christ Church? Take stock of who we are as a people of God. The 100 or so of us, the 25 families, the incredible privilege that God has granted each one of us to know Jesus and to know one another and to be his witness to the world, his city on a hill shining in this place. Walk round the ramparts, know your citadels. Know that the security comes from the truth that God has revealed to us once and for all in Jesus. And the scriptures reveal that to us. So walk around the ramparts means know your Bible. Know where to turn when someone asks you questions. Show people Jesus in the scriptures. We are to be so amazed that we have God's word to us that we can access today, that spending time in it, learning the contours of the ramparts and the citadels will be an attractive thing to do. And as we do so, we're arming ourselves for the battle we're in. As we gather week by week to sing and pray and be taught God's word. Verse 13, that Christ Church might tell the next generation. The precious truth we've learned is to be passed on to our children. Parents and believing families, that is our responsibility. No one else's. We may be in partnership with the local church, the youth and children's work being done Sunday by Sunday and Tuesdays and Sunday evenings is a wonderful asset, but it's only a supplement to what goes on in our homes. We are to pass on to the next generation what God has given us. The local church, Christ Church South Cams, is beautiful and it is our safe place, not for any other reason than God is here. This is his holy place. He's in the midst of us by his Spirit. And verse 14, he is our God forever and ever and will be our guide even to the end. So let me ask you again, do you treasure Christ Church South Cams the way God sees it? Have you seen that giving your life and soul and all to this local church isn't just worth our while, it is our privilege and our joy? Visit Jerusalem by all means. I can give you some top tips. But know that your weekly gathering here is far more precious and far more important than any side trip to Israel. You may not see all the precious things with your eyes just yet, but in this precious place you have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. When you come, when you become a member of Christ Church South Cairns, when you trust him with your life and join a local church, you've come to a sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. That is a precious gift. Will you treat it as that precious? Will you treasure it? Will you not miss it if you possibly can? And will you play your part in it? Let me leave us for a moment so you can think about how to respond. I'll then pray, and then the floor is open. I'll have to take questions or words of application. So a moment to think about what God is saying to you. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. In the city of our God, his holy mountain, we meditate on your unfailing love. We want to praise you and for that praise to reach the ends of the earth. So make us your mouthpieces. Help us to live and to speak to your praise and glory. And may our gathering, our local expression of the worldwide church, testify that God is here. And may the armies gathered against you, Lord God, flee in terror as they see this local church. May they see our unity. May they see what you've done in us, undeserving sinners, and wonder at your kindness and grace. Please help us to see the local church the way you see it, for your name's sake. Amen. So, anybody from the floor, a question or something by way of application that's encouraged you or you'd like to share? Barbara.
That's neither, I'm afraid. It's just a verse. When you were talking about the local church, I suddenly thought of a verse which is in 1 Peter chapter 2, and I think just verse 9 I want to
read it out loud.
Focus
for us,
yep. There are several verses we could look at, but just this one. About God's view of the local church. It says here, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light."
I should have had a third reading. Brilliant, Barbara, thank you. 1 Peter 2, 9, was that?
Yeah.
Lovely. Yeah. Catherine at the back.
Hi, just to say we've been gone about 10 years from this church now, but what an encouragement it is every year or so we come back and just see more and more people we don't know, more and more people here, and just to encourage you as Christchurch South Cams that God is really working here. It's been a great encouragement to us to see you.
And you are to us. Lovely to see you. Peter.
Question. I wonder, could we use Psalm 48 to look forward again to the heavenly city of Jerusalem that will be revealed in the last days?
Definitely. I've only told you probably two-thirds of the story, the past and the present, but there is a future to come where it won't be plastic chairs. And it'll be something utterly, utterly glorious, and we will see Christ face to face. We see him by faith here, but when we see him then, it'll be real. It'll be face to face. And I look forward to that great gathering that is pointed to from 48 on into the book of Revelation. Thank you, Peter. Yeah. Thomas.
When the king was conquering all the cities, why didn't God defend the other cities, not just Jerusalem?
Thomas, that is a very good question. And if I was a resident in one of the northern cities of Israel, I'd have been asking that question. And the answer is, I don't know. Except that in establishing Jerusalem as the capital city, as the place where he established King David as king, and where the temple was built, it was the most important city. And if God could defend that city from an army that had already conquered hundreds of other cities, then clearly he was a God to be reckoned with. So maybe he was making a point. It would have hurt for everybody who'd been in the ones that had been conquered, I agree. Maybe they fled to Jerusalem, and when God defended Jerusalem, they were able to celebrate in the victory and go back. Great question. Good. I think we'll stop there. Please do carry on talking. If there's things you'd like to pray about, please catch me afterwards or catch one of the elders or somebody with a badge on. We'd love to pray with you as well.